Yeah, let me bid you welcome, express appreciation for your being here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good. It's good to get together. There's an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Title of the lesson by saying, yes, God is able to do that. Or a second title, I might say, God, what can you do for me? Or just talking about the ableness of God. God is able. By definition, I put that in your notes. When we think about the ability of God, it means he's capable, he's apt, qualified, competent, efficient. He's a can-do God. He's adept. So when we say, God, are you able to do that? The Bible mentions, I put in your notes, at least seven things that God is able or capable of doing. There's an Old Testament story I put in your notes about Daniel. When it concerns the three Hebrew children, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, better known as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But in Daniel chapter 3, the king said, and who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this manner. If it be so, the God whom we serve is able. The ableness of God. The God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, neither will we worship the golden image which you've set up. You know the story. They were bound. The fire is heated seven times hotter than usual. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the fiery furnace. Well, after a while, King Nebuchadnezzar goes to the fiery furnace, or the furnace of fire. And he wants to see that if they're burned or not. And he sees that they're not burned, so he says in verse 28, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. But is your God able? Oh, yes. He sure is, and he shows it. The story in that same book of Daniel you're familiar with is Daniel in the lion's den. And in Daniel chapter 6, verse 19, the king arose early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the mouth of the lions? Verse 22. Daniel said, My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, so they've not hurt me. God, are you able to do that? The king says, Daniel, is your God able to do that? Yeah. God can do it. So in our lesson this morning, going to know what God is able to do in your life and mine. Some New Testament verses. I saw a song, it's in our book. I have it here. Oh, yeah. The song is titled, it's hymn number 493. The song is titled, It's No Secret. New, the ability of God. The song reads this way. It says, the chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength. Your courage. courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I bring hope to you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do, the ability of God. The second stanza. There is no night, for in his light, you'll never walk alone. Always feel at home, wherever you may roam. There's no power that can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take him at his promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Let's take a look at some New Testament verses, and we'll notice the ability of God. These are listed in your notes. Number one is in the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. He's able to save to the uttermost. God, can you really do that? Yes. Yes. Here's the verse in its entirety. Hebrews 7, verse 25. It says, wherefore, also, he's able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, meaning Jesus, since he always lives to make intercession for you. You've heard me use this word innermost, uttermost. I don't use it in my speech, but a good King James word. But when he says God is able to save to the uttermost, he reaches the one that's last in line. Or he reaches the bottom. He reaches the extreme. God is able to save those who are farthest out. Yeah, God, can you do that? Yes, sure can. God is able to save the one who says, I've sinned for too long. My sins are too horrible. And my sin. Someone like that says, God, can you save me? The answer is yes. God is able to save to the uttermost. God can do that. For Jesus coming into the world, he's introduced in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She, meaning Mary, shall bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus, for it is he that will save his people from their sins. God, can you save me? I sent my son for that very purpose, your salvation. What about the uttermost, the worst? Oh, yeah, he's able to say to the uttermost, sure can. Sure can. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, he's able to aid those who are tempted. Here's the verse. It says in Hebrews 2, verse 17, the verse before, therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren. So God so loved the world, he sent his son like us. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in all things pertaining to God. To make propitiation or the sacrifice for the sins of the people. All right, so God, why'd you send your son? He had to be like the people. So that he can become merciful and faithful. And he is the sacrifice for the sins of the people. It says, for had he himself has suffered, being tempted, he, meaning Jesus, is able to aid those who are tempted. You see, Jesus once stood where we now stand. Jesus lived among the people. He experienced the joys and the trials of life. He was tempted, just like you and me. But yet he was without sin. Hebrews 4, verse 15. Yeah, he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. And then Peter says in 2 Peter 2, verse 9, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. How do you know? Because I became like you. I took on flesh and blood. I lived like you live. Temptations abounded, but I overcame them. And so I am able, because I've been there. I stood where you now stand. I can aid you, help you, able to deliver you from temptations. And in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, Paul said, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Okay, I'll do that. Because no temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. We all experience the same stuff. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. God, can you do that? Are you able to see that every temptation I face, I'm able to overcome? Yeah. He'll not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape. God, can you do that? Oh, yeah. I'm able. That you may be able to endure it, get through it, overcome it. Ah, the ability of God. God, are you able to save to the uttermost? Yeah. What about the ones who are tempted? Can you keep or help those who are tempted? Oh, I sure can. Sure can. There's another song in our book. Stuff in the praise. Hymn number 396. No, not one. So it says, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No. Not one. None else could heal all our soul's diseases. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He'll guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy. No, not one. No, not one. And yet no friend is so meek and lowly. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. Till the day is done, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. There's not an hour that he is not near us. Oh, let me say that one again. There's not an hour that he is not near us. Can you aid me in temptations? Oh, yes. And there's no night so dark, but his love can cheer us. No, not one, but Jesus. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He'll guide until the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Not one. Number 3 is in Jude, verse 24. Unto him who is able, there's our word again, who is able to keep you from stumbling. God, you can do that. Yeah, you can. When you look at that list, yeah. Oh, yeah. Can you save those to the uttermost? Yeah. Can you aid those who are tempted? Can you keep us from stumbling? Yes, I sure can. Bible says in Psalm, I'll put this in your notes, in Psalm 119, verse 11, how can you do that? Well, if you keep his word in your heart. That I might not sin against you. Teach me, God. Teach me. Number 4 in your notes in Acts 20, verse 32. It says, to God and to the word of his grace, both things. To God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Oh, the ability of God and his word. It's in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. So Paul says, so now, brethren, the congregation, I commend you to God to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The ability of God to build you up. So by definition, so God, can you strengthen me? Yes. Can you fortify me? Yes. Can you make me sturdy? Yes. Yes. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, Apostle Paul said. It's able to build you up. We exhort each other to attend Bible class or prayers or Bible study. The Bible verses don't say, skip the assembly and don't study and you'll be built up. Doesn't say that. No, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. So we exhort Bible study. We exhort attendance, fellowship, getting together. I commend you to God and the word of his grace if you want to be built up. Number 5 is in Romans chapter 4, verse 20. I'll read the whole verse to you. Abraham did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. All right, good for you, Abraham. You didn't waver. You weren't wishy-washy about the promise of God. Yeah. But he was strengthened in faith, God, and being fully convinced that what he has promised, he was able also to perform. God, can you do that? Listen, I'm convinced, I'm persuaded that what God has promised, he'll perform. So when the Bible says to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, I believe that. That's a promise of God. Peter said the same thing in the next verse, in after Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, because for to you is the promise. To you and to your children, the promise. Oh. So I believe when I repent and am baptized that sins are forgiven. That the Spirit is given. Perform. God, can you can do that? Yes. Can you accomplish it? Yes. Can you finish it? Yes. Can you complete it? Yes. Can you fulfill it? Yes. Can you achieve it? Yes. God's able to do that. Number 6, in 2 Timothy 1, verse 12, Paul said, for this reason I suffer these things. So, troubles and trials, yeah. But nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I have believed. And I'm persuaded, confident, assured, yeah, that he, meaning God, is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Also in Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So when I commit my soul, myself, in service to God and get on his side, I'm confident. I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that. And there will not be condemnation in the last great judgment day. Yeah. God is able. The Apostle Paul is certain of his future because of whom he believes in. Number 7, the last one, in the text that was read to us. Ephesians 3, beginning of verse 20. Now unto him who is able to do. Alright. That's the first word. God is able to do. In other words, he's able to accomplish his work in our lives. He's a can-do God. But then it adds to it. In other words, God, that you're able to do, Paul said, now he's able to do that exceedingly. Meaning what God does, he can do it over the top, and he can do it better. He can do it exceedingly. Yeah. And then not only that, he adds another word, abundantly. God can do his work over and over again, and God's work will be plenty. It'll be sufficient for your life and mine. And then he adds another word, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all, beyond any work or creation of mankind, above all that we even ask or think. God, can you really do that? You can accomplish even things I can't dream about and do? Yeah, I can do that. Above all that we ask or think, he can do more than what we can imagine. God can do more than what we can dream about, more than what we can conjure up. God, can you do that? The ability of God. I want you to be persuaded this morning. Be confident that what God has promised, he is also able to perform. Don't doubt God. So that's the lesson. God's ability to save is a tremendous invitation that's extended to all. Again, to the other one. Simple process or procedure. We write it every back of the bulletin. Or a plan. Or a recipe, if you will. I want to hear the word of God. Jesus, before he went up back to the Father, he commissioned his apostles, I want you to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. But you have to tell them, Christianity is a taught religion. Be taught. Second believer. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. I want to believe the message of God. He's able to perform. And then I want to repent of my sins, turn my life toward him. Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, repent or you perish. And then number four, I want to confess my faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. I want the hope of salvation. I want to flee the wrath of God. I make my confession. Then number five, I will be baptized for remission of sins. That's what happened when the Ethiopian heard Philip preach unto him Jesus. He says, you want to be baptized? And Philip says, if you believe, you may. He says, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Philip said, stop the chariot. Stop the chariot. They both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Ethiopian goes out on his way rejoicing. And you've heard me say it. Salvation is always an occasion of joy. Always. The lost sheep is found, let's rejoice. The lost coin is found, let's rejoice. The son who is prodigal comes home, let's rejoice. So that's the invitation we extend at the close of every lesson. You're subject to it. We sing a song to encourage you to make that decision if you have not done so already. So let's stand together with a selected chorus. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, simply come to the front while we're singing this song and let your...